Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, this will be a very difficult show today, but I hope it'll ultimately be an encouraging show and a show that will wake you up and wake me up and wake the church up. And again, whether you are just a member of a church, a church goer, or if you're a ministry leader, if you're a pastor, if you're a pastor's wife, there is going to be something here for all of us to engage in and to try to understand. And beyond just understanding and being prayerful and loving and kind and compassionate about it, we need to be engaged in it, because the topic of suicide touches a lot more people than a lot of us realize. Of course, if it's touched you, you know all about that far more than somebody like me. And then in particular, if it's in a leadership situation, if it's in ministry leadership, be it a church or a parachurch ministry, my friend Andy Bowersox is here today from Energize Ministries, and he ministers to pastors, me as a radio guy, a Christian radio guy, and a bunch of different ministry things I do. There are all kinds of challenges out there. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so we're going to dive into some of the bad and some of the ugly, and we'll end up with some of the good as we move through the show today. But we've got Dr. Jim Cofield, who's going to join us in the second segment. He's a professor of counseling at Reformed Theological Seminary. But most of the show, we're going to carry through a conversation with two new friends for me, Elizabeth McKeon and Rhonda Hunter, who have become friends. They're down in outside Orlando in Florida, and they've become friends through these tragic circumstances. And Elizabeth and Rhonda, thanks for calling in. Thanks for being on the show. How are you?
Hi, thank you.
And you're welcome. And we're just going to actually, you guys just decide who wants to go first in this first short segment. If you could just kind of take us into what life was like before these unfortunate and terrible suicide incidences in your lives with your husbands, and so that we kind of understand what life was like for your families and where you were at, church, those kinds of things. Then we'll talk to Dr. Schofield and Cofield in the second segment. Then we'll come back. We'll kind of finish that story and then move into what we can all learn and allow you some time to encourage people that are involved in this one way or another. But if you want to, guys, just decide who's going to go first, and let's just go ahead and dive right in.
Okay, thanks. This is Elizabeth, and I would just say our experience in ministry. My late husband and I had been in the church we were serving right before he spiraled out of control. It was a great setup, great situation, a wonderful, loving congregation, really a dream church setting, kind people, great staff. And it was in North Carolina. We had moved there from being in various churches around the country, and really enjoyed ministry there. And so it felt like it came out of nowhere, his spiral, and it was really hard because we really did enjoy ministry there.
Yeah, so from the outside looking in, that things looked like they were going in the right direction, great church family. And like you said, his spiral down, which we're going to talk about that because that's a big part of this issue today. But Rhonda, what was life like for you guys?
Yeah, so my husband and I were married for 13 years. We have three kids, and we had the opportunity to plant a church here in Orlando. And for whatever reason, I mean, church planting is hard, but God really blessed our church, and it was successful and still is. And just reaching a ton of people, young people, for Christ. And like Elizabeth's story, it was very much, something that was out of the blue and very confusing. It happened very quickly. And I think that's been similar with other ministry wives that we've spoken to who have been in a situation similar to ours, is that, sin can take hold and take you down fast. And that was one of the reasons that I think we feel passionate about being on your show, Steve, and we're so grateful that you asked us, is because we'd like to, help, if we can, of getting our story out there of, hey, here's what we found in common And if this is happening in your church, or you are hearing your staff or your the spouses of your staff say these types of things, there's a big problem. And thank you.
No, you're very welcome. I think Andy wanted to jump in here for a second.
Yeah, so Steve, I just want to thank you for having me on again here, too. I love doing your show. And you may remember Elizabeth was actually married. Her and her husband were the pastor family at my church, my home church. And so Robert was my pastor. And I think what's important, you mentioned at the beginning of the show, and I just want to reiterate again, these are very sensitive topic that we're talking about today. Okay, we're talking about real people with real lives. It's not a storyline. It's not a fantasy. But what do we see? Our ministry is about supporting, encouraging pastors, their families, and spiritual leadership, people that are leading, introducing and leading others closer to Christ. And when that happens, we all know that God uses broken, messed up people. We all fall into that category. Sure. So I just want to be really careful. If you're listening there, you know, there is thousands and thousands of tremendous pastors. There's not one out there that doesn't struggle somewhere down the line. And we'll talk about this later on towards the end on how we can work towards prevention and care about that. But it's just very, very important. Yeah. Our church was thriving, like Elizabeth mentioned, growing, new ministries being born, people coming to know the Lord, God doing mighty things through a broken man right there. And it happened. So I just wanted to put that back out there and make sure we reference and keep that in mind.
And Elizabeth and Rhonda, you both mentioned the spiral down. And in terms of the context of what you guys have in common in your own stories, were you both – was this kind of a condensed experience where things kind of spiraled down and got to the point they got kind of quickly? Or did it take years? There were signs here. There were things going on there. Was it condensed for both of you, or was it elongated more for one of you?
The critical spiral for me, this is Elizabeth, was really the last 9 months of his life. It was just critical during that period and so intense and scary, really. But prior to that, maybe 15 years before, whatever, in ministry, there were maybe some signs like he was controlling or he would have rage. And I did see a dark side to him, but never the intensity and the spiral like his last year with the drinking. And there's so many factors that played in. So it really seemed fast, very rapid, like a train.
And Rhonda, I'll give you a chance. We're up against the break, so I'm going to put you guys on hold. We're going to talk to Dr. Schofield when we come back. So you guys make sure you're listening in. Take some notes. We'll pick it up with you right when we come back in that third segment, talking to Elizabeth and Rhonda down in Florida. Next, you'll hear from Dr. James Schofield, who's a clinical psychologist and a counselor. We're going to talk to him next.
What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Jesus Christ.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. A very difficult topic today, as we you just got introduced to a couple of valiant women and women of God, Elizabeth McKeon and Rhonda Hunter. Both of their husbands were pastors. Both of their husbands committed suicide. Andy Bowersox is in the studio with me. He's the founder and runs Energize Ministries, which he spends his life now ministering to ministers, to pastors. And one of those pastors was his pastor. So a lot of very personal perspectives on this. And one thing that we were just reminded of, one of the great things about Andy's ministry, about Energize Ministry, is something that I took advantage of it several years ago, and it comes to me every day on my phone. If you just text the word pastor, just pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, text the word pastor to 74574, and you will get a text every day with something to pray about for your pastor. That is a big missing part of this puzzle, is our support of our pastors, not putting them on a pedestal that no human being should be on. You only do that with Christ. But praying for them diligently and realizing that, yes, pastors have a lot of challenges just like we do. They are not somehow sectioned off from the problems of the world, the flesh and the devil. And it's all you know, maybe once a year, Pastor Appreciation Month. This needs to be pretty much every day. So just text the word pastor to 74574. You'll get an email. You can pick how often you want those texts coming to you. But that's a great thing that we can all do to help lift up our pastors. On the clinical side of it, somebody that we're going to go to today who's knows a little bit about this situation, both with the folks we have on the phone today, but also, of course, in his practice and in his job. Dr. James Cofield, who's a professor of counseling, Reformed Theological Seminary, and also a licensed psychologist, a PhD in counseling from University of Tennessee. He's got 20 years of classroom experience and all kinds of clinical experience and actually counseling individuals, couples, and all the like. And so we go to that clinical perspective now. He's trying to catch a plane, which is why we're kind of interrupting the conversation to go to Dr. Cofield. But, Jim, again, thanks for calling in. How are you?
Doing fine. It's a pleasure to talk with you. You're talking to some pretty brave women there in the studio.
Yes, indeed we are. It's a huge blessing to have all of you. So from a clinical perspective, you and I had a chance to talk earlier today, and I found some stats that were shocking that you said were really right on the money. One in every four pastors struggles with depression. The number of pastors diagnosed with clinical depression was double the national average. 45% sought advice from their family doctor regarding stress and anxiety issues. Nearly one-fourth of all pastors, about 23%, acknowledge having personally struggled with mental illness. It's really, I think for a lot of people, maybe it's a shock, but for you as a counselor and somebody that's been teaching counseling for years, is the pastorate, is that a unique set of people that struggle perhaps even more than the rest of us?
Well, there's some unique things about pastoring that can set somebody up to struggle. One of those is isolation. It's pretty common for pastors to isolate, therefore they don't have those sort of relationships, and the relationships they do have sometimes can be negative, or sometimes they can be overly positive in the sense that there's never any honest conversation. So isolation would be the first thing that I would be really concerned about with people that are in the field and in ministry. Another thing that you'll find pretty common is that the job itself is a job that can't be humanly done, and so there's never really an end point. There's always one more call you can make, always right. One more visit you can make, always one more commentary you could look up and to make sure you're seeing that passage the correct way. And when you're in that sort of when you're in a position that requires that level of knowledge, it's easy to become lost in that.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier today when we were talking on the isolation thing that a lot of pastors get a whole lot of encouragement. But it's, you know, I go to a mega church, and my pastor's kind of a rock star in the Southern Baptist Convention, and people encourage him a lot. But I think the danger there is pastors maybe start believing all of that, and then we kind of create this whole kumbaya, everything's great, the pastor's awesome, have a blessed day, I'll see you next Sunday. And there's a danger in that, and that encouragement, which is nobody's really telling the truth. Does that sound too harsh, doctor, or is that about right?
No, that's very true in the sense that that it's easy to begin to believe our own propaganda. Jesus, when the Bible talks about leadership, it talks about humility, and there's a reason for that. That there's something almost dangerous about the fact that people take notes when you talk, and people pay attention to your stories, and that and you begin to. And that's a sacred task of a pastor to present the word of God to a group of people, to their church. But it's easy after a while to kind of believe your own propaganda, not to acknowledge your own struggles, not to acknowledge the places. Because for the truth is, there's a gap between our condition and our calling for everybody. That's universally true. That's why if that wasn't true, then we wouldn't need the work of Christ in our lives. So the gap between our condition and calling can create, for some people, if they don't continue to acknowledge that need for Christ and that their struggles, they can begin to, like I said, believe their own propaganda, begin to believe they really are special. They really are. And so in one sense, that encouragement, they need encouragement. They need to, it's a difficult job with lots of demands and more bosses in one sense than you can possibly imagine. And then in another sense, they need to find honest feedback and relationships and friendships that they're not isolated from, or you're going to find the seeds in that of pretending and there'll be beginning to be depression in that. There's often depression when we don't live up to what we think we are, what we pretend we are, and And at some level, that's how that someone deals with that gap can look like anxiety. It can look like depression.
Depression. And then the shame is in there as well. I think Andy wanted to jump in here for a second.
Yeah, I appreciate very much Dr. Cofield's comment about believing, you know, too much encouragement. And Steve, you know, our ministry is very heavily focused on providing encouragement, refreshment, and affirmation there. But I would say the critical key part to that is to be focused on the transparency right there. We have created, and I know the women want to speak to this later on, but we have created such a culture of not being able for our pastors and their families in particular to be transparent. The expectation of this glass bubble, this glass house, to not approach when we see things that just seem in our gut check out of whack. And it's just not like that. We've got to give the freedom. You know, you've got to earn some of that ability to handle that, but we've got to be able to be real, to be honest, to be transparent with each other and encourage and hold each other accountable as part of that in a very particular way. And we'll talk more about that later on.
Now, what about, Dr. Cofield, what about signs that we could be looking for? Either, you know, you might have some pastors' wives listening. You might have some pastors listening. Certainly have churchgoers listening. What's your advice to us in terms of our place in all of this conversation and what should we look for? How should we engage this?
Well, you know, if you see someone becoming disengaged from the people that matter most to them, and they're investing not in family but investing in strangers and programs, I think I'm probably the oldest person on this panel. So, as the grandfather in this panel, I would just say to you that one of the dangers that my generation gave to the church that you all will need to clean up in the years to come is that my generation gave you a kind of a sense of celebrity pastor. And there's just and what that creates a real problem.
It's a very dangerous thing. I'm going to put you back on hold. This is Steve Noble talking to Dr. James Cofield. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, addressing a very difficult topic today as we're considering suicide and not suicide in general, which we've done shows on before and will continue to do so in the future. But suicide within the confines of the church, within the confines of the body of Christ, in terms of leadership, pastors, and Elizabeth McKeon and Rhonda Hunter have become friends, unfortunately, through a shared circumstance. Both their husbands were pastors. Both their husbands committed suicide and took their lives. So we're trying to learn from their experiences. The tough times, the kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly, what they've learned, how the Lord has brought them through all of that, and from their unique perspective, as we were talking to Dr. James Cofield, helping the rest of us, whether you're a pastor or whether you're a pastor's wife, pastor's family member, or just a member of a church, we all have a place on this wall to try to help serve the kingdom in general and our pastors specifically. And Dr. James Cofield was saying right before the end of the segment, he's getting ready to catch a plane anyway, that one of the challenges, we've kind of created this whole celebrity pastor environment where we put them up on a pedestal. They could very well start drinking their own Kool-Aid and everybody's saying, you're awesome, you're this, you're the man of God, you're that, the other thing. And so they start believing that. Yet, you know, the reality is you're broken too, whether you're a pastor, a Christian radio show host, or a leader of a ministry like Andy Bowersock's in here with me today. You're broken too. And then that disparity, and this was so good from Dr. James Cofield, that said the gap between their condition and their calling. I'm called to be a minister, but I'm still fallen. I still struggle with things. And in that, of course, shame is lurking. He wrote a great article on shame that I read earlier, What Does Shame Do? And that's a big part of it, too. But really, I want to focus the rest of our time today on Elizabeth McKeon and Rhonda Hunter, who are joining us live from Florida. And again, ladies, thank you so much for your compassion to come on and share with us and your courage to do this. We really, really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I loved what Dr. Cofield had to say, and the celebrity pastor part, you know, definitely rings true. These weren't men who were not good at their jobs. I mean, they were extremely gifted individuals, you know, gifted communicators, doing what God created them to do. And, you know, that's why we feel passionate about getting their story out there, and we're hoping that will resonate with some of the members of the church, because we don't want to see this happen anymore.
And so let's kind of go back to where we left off after the first segment, and Elizabeth and Rhonda were both sharing in the first segment of the show about, you know, they were in healthy churches, church plant that's growing, another church that's sound and healthy, good things are happening, great kingdom things are happening, but you both talked about kind of this spiral. So I want to spend a little bit of time there. We don't want to spend too much, and I don't want you to go anywhere that you're not comfortable going. But just so that we can understand kind of what that can look like on the inside, this spiraling down of an individual's life, in this case, both your husbands who were pastors, so that we can kind of come alongside this situation and know what we should be looking for and what our role is. So take us there. And again, I don't want to spend too much time there, but I think it's important that we understand.
Well, I would say it's confusing for sure. I think that's a word that we kept using when we became friends, is just it was so confusing and we couldn't quite figure out what was going on, but we knew something was wrong. And, you know, if I had to say anything to other ministry wives, I would say, if you're finding yourself saying, there's something off, or there's something very wrong, or, you know, my husband needs a break, this is too much, then, you know, there's probably something larger going on behind the scenes, and that you should take those phrases very, very seriously.
Definitely. For her to come forward as a wife takes tremendous courage and risk, and she could be very well putting her his career and her livelihood and security in danger. But probably at that point that she comes forward, things are already, as Rhonda shared, very serious, and they could be potentially beyond repair. That's critical.
Yeah, people ask me a lot, you know, didn't you know what was going on in your own home? You know, it's kind of hurtful a little bit. But yes, we knew what was going on in our own home. We knew that there were that they were drinking too much. We knew that there were addiction issues. You know, we were fearful that there could possibly be infidelity. What we didn't know is that they weren't going to be able to turn the behavior around, and we didn't have anywhere to go with that information.
It wasn't clear. This is Elizabeth. It just wasn't clear. Who do we take it to, and will our voice be heard? And it was just a very scary time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you both about that in terms of, and I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, who do you tell when you're the pastor's wife and the senior pastor or a high level pastor is having these problems and spiraling out of control, and the seriousness of the sin and the problems that you were mentioning, not to mention the mental illness aspect of it, the depression, the anxiety. But how do you wrestle through that? Do you feel like I can't go to elders? I can't go to deacons? I can't go to anybody in the church? Do you feel like really isolated? And if you did, why do you think you felt that way?
Isolated for sure. Just as Dr. Copeland was talking about, pastors feeling isolated, pastors' wives feel tremendously isolated in their role as well. And it's tricky because I didn't know who, as Rhonda too, we didn't know who was safe, who could we take it to, and what to do.
And oftentimes, you know, if you do go forward and you are brave enough to bring it out into the light, even talking to, you know, maybe the executive pastor or maybe the head of the elder board or something like that, your husband loses his job. I mean, that's right. The reality. And so, you know, it takes a lot for a pastor's wife to come forward and say, hey, there's a problem here. And I don't know the magnitude of it, you know, but there's something going on. And so we need to make sure that we're listening to our pastor's wives. And we would love, Elizabeth and I would love to see this tide be turned, to have churches provide, maybe there is a specific staff member that ends up, being the person that, the spouses know they can go to this person to share some, you know, private information. And then,
and what about even having women in many churches? There are very few women in leadership. Could there be safe women that the wives could go to? I think that would be a huge help.
Yeah, and hopefully to catch, you know, some of the issues earlier and stop that cycle of spiraling down. When Elizabeth and I first met, we we both finished each other's sentences when we said it was like watching a train wreck about to happen and not being able to stop it. I mean, it was just this slow motion. We knew exactly where it was going to end, but there was literally no way to stop that.
Steve, and, let me. Well, go ahead, Rhonda.
No, and so if we can help, bring some awareness to the issue, and Andy's ministry, providing a place for pastors to share with each other, Energized Ministries, and share with each other of what's personally going on in each other's lives and the wives as well, and having a platform and a safe place, be transparent, as you shared, Andy, and as Dr. Cofield talked about, just not having that isolation, just knowing there's others who get it and who they can connect with.
Yeah, I want to just address something that I think about a lot, okay? And Steve, we mentioned off the air here talking about broken signs and broken people. And I think there's nobody, neither Elizabeth nor Rhonda nor myself nor Dr. Cofield, nobody is advocating through our talk about, we need to be able to be transparent and expect that our pastors are not perfect. Nobody's saying that it's okay. And I would say there's pastors listening right now that are suffering so severely from the shame part and the stress of knowing that there is open. Let's just call it unconfessed sin of some point, being able to share. And it is deadly. Like, we've seen that right there. And so, and this may not be the best example in the times, but police departments have internal affairs offices right there that they go to investigate. They hold accountable. I talked to a guy this morning that said he's a pastor, and he said every week one of his elders checks in with somebody in his home to see how they're doing. And I thought that's such a tremendous idea. And I know both Elizabeth and Rhonda both have talked about being able, just like they just did, being able to establish and to be able to share. And listen, it's tough. I mean, again, we talked out there. I spend 9 years now of my life dedicated to try and support, encourage, change this dynamic from what's often a culture of criticism towards a culture of care. We don't have it figured out. We know that without over-spiritualizing or under-spiritualizing, it is a battlefield that we all are in and all part of it, like it or not. But we need to listen to what these women are saying right now and not be afraid. It is truly a potentially life-saving situation. And you said, Steve, you noticed that I've been a little bit emotional today. I'm subdued. I mean, this is a toughie for me right here.
Yeah,
it's
very,
really tough.
Very difficult. And Elizabeth and Rhonda, we're coming up on a break. But if you had to just kind of identify some one-word things, would it be shame? Would it be sin? Would it be guilt? Would it be isolation? What do you think? Just real quickly.
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yep. All of that.
I can speak for Robert. Shame. He even said, mentioned that. So I would say shame is huge.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll be right back in a minute. We're talking to Elizabeth McKeon and Rhonda Hunter and my buddy Andy Bowersox here in the studio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, as we discuss a very challenging, difficult, heartbreaking subject, which is pastors that get to a place where they choose to end their own lives. And so we've got two widows of pastors on the phone today who have been kind enough to join us. And listen, this is a high-speed flyover. It's a great introductory conversation. There's so much more that needs to be discussed here. You can't hit all the buttons. You can't deal with all the issues in one-hour radio show, which is really just about 40 minutes on the air. So we'll revisit this. We'll come back to this as God opens that door, and we are so grateful today that He has with Elizabeth McKeon and with Rhonda Hunter, and then, of course, Dr. James Cofield called in earlier, and Andy Bowersox with Energized Ministries here in the studio with me. And again, one in every four pastors struggles with depression. The number of pastors diagnosed with clinical depression was double the national average. 45% sought advice from their family doctor regarding stress and anxiety issues. Nearly one-fourth of all pastors, 23%, acknowledge having personally struggled with mental illness, and half of those pastors say the illness has been actually officially diagnosed. So the numbers are much higher, and for a reason, and I think we've talked about that, as you have this, as Dr. Cofield called it, the gap between condition and calling, the reality that I'm fallen and broken and sinful and susceptible to these things versus the reality that you're called to ministry. We know that teachers are held to a higher standard, a higher account, and oftentimes in a rock star kind of world that we live in, that's in there. But Dr. Cofield wrote a really powerful article called What Shame Does. And I'm going to get back to Elizabeth and Rhonda here in just a second. But ask them at the end of the last segment, you know, is it shame, guilt, sin, all the above, but especially shame. So this is something that Dr. Cofield wrote, really, really powerful, and it's something we all need to think about. If one feels as though they are about to be found out, they become gripped with fear. Good relationships demand vulnerability. The commitment to self-protection kills vulnerability. Much like a soldier behind enemy lines, the shame-based individual is always scanning and assessing the environment for any signs of potential exposure. Healthy boundaries are important, especially in new relationships, but relationships can only grow as deeper risks are taken to develop kinship. Shame prevents these risks from being taken. As isolation and self-protection increase, positive relationships decrease. The absence of encouraging influences and healthy perspectives propel growing self-hatred, which, of course, in far too many cases, ends up with the individual taking their own life, which is so sad and so heartbreaking, especially, I don't even know that you can say especially. I think it's more troubling, perhaps in general, when it's in the church, because we think one thing of pastors and not willing to embrace the reality that they deal with messy things, too, and struggles themselves. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth and Rhonda, again, thank you so much for being with us today and for your courage to talk about it.
Thank you. Thanks.
And so let's kind of try to move into an upswing here and in a little more of a positive direction. And I know we had to talk about some of the difficulties about this, but, you know, we all know that hindsight is 2020. And what have you all learned? And I'm sure there's people that are like, well, why, you know, what didn't you notice? And all that kind of stuff, because guilt and shame can be there on the other side of this conversation as well. But take us into that, what you've learned from this. As individuals, as wives, as Christians, and dealing with this particular subject, especially when it comes to suicide, and especially suicide that affects the church in terms of pastors.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've learned from other pastors' wives is, you know, I've become friends with four other pastors' wives who have lost their husbands to suicide, all senior pastors' wives. Is just that they all felt that the as they did go forward and they did ask for help in the church, that it was more seen as though that they were exaggerating their story, or that they were kind of blowing it out of proportion or being a little bit too emotional. We need to make sure that we're listening to the women as they're coming forward and just giving a little snippet of a problem behind closed doors of what's going on in their home. Okay. And I would love to see churches prioritize in their budget individual counseling for pastors, for their wives, for staff, for marriage counseling, ways that they can work through their issues before they explode. I'm thinking need to be probably for ethical reasons outside of the church with counseling outside of their church, but just for health. I know in the counseling program I was in, they encouraged us to be in counseling as we were ministering or in meeting with others outside, just to be whole and mature, or not mature, but just healthy. And I think seeing health in the church and mental health in the church is huge. I think it would be so beneficial to prioritize that, to destigmatize mental health issues and put the budget to it, prioritize that.
Yeah, absolutely. We also talked about the fact that, you know, whenever there is a senior pastor or a ministry leader of any kind who has gone through a major loss in their life, it was true in my life that, you know, my husband and I lost our niece to cancer. And I would say that after losing our niece, who my husband was very close with, the downward spiral began from there. If I trace it back, there was a lot of sadness and depression, and that leads to bad decisions, poor decisions that then leads to sin that then, you know, and just continues to the downward spiral. If they would prioritize, and I think it's true, too, of the situation that we've just seen out in California, with Kayla and Andrew's church, you know, I believe he lost his father a couple years ago. I would imagine that played a big role in the depression that he was suffering. We believe that grief share makes a difference. And if you can, you know, have the leadership of your church, you know, incorporate grief share into their, you know, offering for their pastors and their the pastoral families, you know, help give the tools to the ministry families and help make it a priority in the budget that counseling matters. And
pastors and their families, but definitely pastors are holding on to so many people's sufferings and in grief, and they're taking it on. And then they have their own on top of that. And so being able to process the grief and work through it can be very beneficial and healthy for everyone. And it is hard work.
Yeah. Elizabeth and I have both had the opportunity to have a counselor who deals with loss and suicide and full-time ministry. She's actually experienced that herself. And that has been life-giving to us that you know, we have a counselor who's walked in our shoes and is about 10 years ahead of us on this journey. But, you know, so to be able to have those resources available to you means everything.
Definitely.
Yeah. Andy had something real quick.
Yeah.
Well, let me just jump in here again. I think it was Elizabeth that mentioned earlier, if your pastor's wife out there or somebody on your leadership team does have the courage to come up and say, hey, you know what, like, there's some stuff going on, I just want to be able to share my heart, remember that is the tip of the iceberg. And I would say in our office, we have a campaign called Be the One, okay, and it stands for all kinds of different things. But maybe you're out there, maybe you're a parishioner in the church right now, and you're listening to this program, and you're listening to these women share their story. I would say, look, if God's tapping you on the shoulder right now to be the one to speak up and talk to your church staff, to the elder board, to some sort of leadership council, and say, you know what, I heard this program today, and I'm listening about these stories. We don't want to be blindsided by this. Maybe we can institute a counseling program or some, I don't want to use the word requirements. I probably would use the word requirements right there, Steve. I would just say, you know, I really feel like this is something we should do because our pastors are carrying so much. Their families are carrying so much, and they do need our support.
Absolutely. And Elizabeth and Rhonda, we've got about 2.5 minutes left, but what would be your word of encouragement to, there's pastors listening, there's pastors' wives listening or wives of Christian leaders, and then any resources that you might want to share that would be a good idea to put out there?
Yeah, I struggled after Isaac took his life. I struggled with, you know, why would God allow this to happen? Our church was growing, you know, people were coming to know Jesus, you know, lives were being changed. You know, why would God allow this to happen? But what I've, you know, known, but have now been experiencing over the last 4 years is just that it really is, it's God's church, as, you know, big C, God's church. And he is going to accomplish his plan. He does, he's good, and he does love you, and he does have a plan for your life. And you're not, if you're a pastor's wife who's sitting there, you know, thinking to yourself, you know, God has forgotten me. I don't see a plan forward. You know, I would just encourage you that he's a big God, and it might seem bleak and it might seem dark and hopeless right now. But God's not surprised by this, and he will give you means to find a way out.
Yeah, what a great point. Elizabeth, you got about a minute. Go ahead, Elizabeth. You got about a minute.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I did everything Rhonda shared, and just grateful for this experience. I think just to keep going forward and finding help and not being afraid, you can do it. It's hard, but finding others in a similar hard situation is so helpful.
Yeah.
And a support network. So reading on shame is helpful from Dr. Kirk Thompson, as we brought up the shame stuff. I think learning all you can.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, we're up against the end of the show, but I'm gonna get some of those resources from you too. I'll make sure I share them on Facebook, and we'll put them on the Facebook Live, so we'll get that out there. Also, if you want to talk to somebody directly, get to energizeministries.com, energizeministries.com. Andy will help you. No matter where you are, Andy and his staff will help you get connected if you need help regarding this. Elizabeth and Rhonda, God bless you. Thank you for being on. Andy, thanks for being here. People, let's pray for, care for, and reach out to our pastors. This is Steve Noble. God willing, we'll talk again real soon.